Last week we started talking a little bit about vision. Psalm 37. So turn to Psalm 37. I usually can't hear the phones going, right? When we all had Bibles, you know, there'd be rustling of pages and so forth, but we can't really hear the phone. Psalm 37, Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We open up our hearts to receive what you have for us. We thank you for Holy Spirit who lives in us, who guides us, who directs us, your very presence on the inside of us. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is our teacher and will cause the Word to minister to a need within us and also to make it come alive on the inside of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about verse 1. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. We said fret means you're anxious, you're agitated. It means you're angry, or you're suffering emotional strain because of what's happening around you or what's happening to another person. And if you put this in the light of vision, sometimes we fret because we see other people, their vision fulfilled in their lives, and we say, well, why isn't that happening to me? That's fretting. You know, I'm called the pastor, somebody might think, but why am I not pastoring? But I have a good friend. He's called the pastor too, and look at him. His vision is being fulfilled. Why isn't my vision being fulfilled? That's fretting. In other words, if we are agitated because somebody else is experiencing the blessings of God in their lives, maybe we need the same blessing in our life to meet a need that we have, and we are agitated because of that, that's fretting. We should always be excited. We should always be supportive when somebody else is receiving the blessings that they need in their lives, regardless of what's happening to us. And we should rejoice with them. The Bible says we're to rejoice with one another. It also says to weep with one another, because we are here to minister to people. So we want to come alongside, regardless if they're experiencing the greatest blessing of God or if they're experiencing challenges in their lives. So we come alongside, no matter what is needed, because of the grace and the mercy that God has put within us, we can extend that grace and mercy to other people. So it says very clearly here, we are not to fret. Now, we're putting this in the setting of vision. I mean, it could be putting other settings as well. But in the setting of vision, what kind of vision or what vision has God given to you? Now, I know, I mentioned this last week, I know Pastor Bill talked a lot about purpose. Am I right? That each person has a purpose, that God has a purpose for you. Well, purpose and vision may be about the same thing, that each person has a calling, each person has a purpose, each person has vision given to you by God. Vision has a lot to do with who you are, how you're made, and how God created you. That's where many times you find the root of your vision, is in how God made you. As an example, in my life, I am good with numbers. I've always been, ever since a kid. My favorite subject in school was math. And I loved math. And I excelled in math, usually beyond any other member of my own class. And I'm not bragging on myself, I'm just showing you how God has made each of us a certain way, given us a certain personality, given us certain talents, and that many times is the root of the vision that he has given to you. In other words, your vision will come out of that, and God will use that in the vision and the calling that he has for your life. So When I was in first, second, and third, and fourth grade, I was in a one-room schoolhouse. Now, I know you can't even comprehend that at this point in our culture today. But back then, public school, in fact, before I went there, my mom went to the same school, and my mom had the same teacher. And back then, they had 8 grades in one little one-room schoolhouse. You see them around different places. In fact, the Amish people, they still have one-room schoolhouse and usually have 8 grades in them. And so I was, by the time I came along, and I was in third grade, and we had 4 grades together. And the way she would handle it, she would give the other grades homework to do that we were doing while she was working with one of the grades. So on this particular day, I was in the third grade. On this particular day, she had the fourth graders up front, and we were at a big chalkboard, and they were doing math. And she had a problem for them that they were supposed to figure out. And then we would always stand in the line, maybe 6, 7, 8 of us, and, you know, take turns as she was working with the class. And then she was getting very frustrated because none of them had the answer. And they were fourth graders. I didn't like this. Looking back, I didn't like this. And they called me Junior back then because I have my dad's name. And I was called Junior until we went to Rhema, I think. So finally she piped up out of her frustration. She says, I bet Junior knows this answer. I want you to come up and show them how to do it on the board. I was a third grader. They were the fourth graders. I actually refused to do it. I didn't want to do it because I was embarrassed at that point. But what I'm saying is, from the very early in my life, I was good with math. And then I feel part of my calling over the years has been to be a business person. Well, to be a good business, I'm not saying you have to be good at math. If you're not, you get other people to help you. But that was a real benefit for me in business, that I was good with math. It's a benefit here for you as well in Abundant Life Center, because I can help with things in bookkeeping and things like that, because I understand the stuff, where maybe you might not understand it. So there was a gifting put on the inside of me that had to do with the call that and the call and the vision that God had for my life. Are you following me? So even today, Ed, I still have a business. I'm not sure how long I can maintain that, because Brother Hagin used to say, when you get busy, like, people would ask, well, how do you know you're supposed to go full-time in ministry? Well, one thing is, I'm already full-time in ministry. I don't care if I'm doing business or preaching to you or giving leadership to the Abundant Life Center. You follow me? Because we're in ministry no matter what we're doing. We're in some kind of ministry. It's all about people. So the day might be coming where if I'm too busy doing both, then I have to make a choice. Now you ask, what's your choice going to be? No, all the way through my years of ministry and business together, my choice always was to go towards ministry. You understand what I'm saying? Again, I use that word in different ways because I think we all have a ministry. But in preaching, teaching, leadership type ministry, and if that day comes here, because sometimes with phone calls and things like that and talking to people, if I get too busy doing both, then I have to make a choice or I may have to make adjustments and so on. But all my life, the preaching and teaching was a major part of my life, because from the very beginning, there again, I felt a certain day that God called me through the Word of God. He showed me in the Word of God that I need to be involved in preaching and teaching. Well, I'm a teacher. I'm gifted as a teacher. I'm talking about the giftings in Romans. I'm gifted as a teacher. There are certain things that are a part of my talent bank, or whatever you want to call it, a personality, that shows me that I have a gift in teaching. Some of you do as well. One of the things about teaching, a teacher is usually very detailed. Very detailed. So you school teachers know what I'm talking about. See, you're gifted as a teacher. And that has something to do with the vision that God has put in your life, maybe even as a small child. Because when I was 10, 11, and 12 years old, I lived on a farm, and I raised ducks. Ducks, you know, quack, quack, ducks. I was telling this story in Africa one place, one time, and they thought I was saying dogs. So finally I had to go because of the language I was being interpreted. Finally I just went, quack, quack, and they all understood what I meant, that it wasn't dogs. So I remember when I was like 10, 11, 12 years old, we had the ducks on the farm. We had a creek, and the mother duck would usually find a hiding place somewhere way hidden, and might lay 10, 11, 12 eggs. And then after a while, they would hatch, and she would bring them out of hiding. And so she would come out, and all these little ducklings would be following her. Well, we had to, for their protection, we had to catch them and put them in like a shed or something, because if we would let them go in the creek and be there, we had these big old snapping turtles, they would eat them. We had ducks half grown sometimes where the whole leg was bitten off by, and it was still alive, but their one leg was bitten off by a snapping turtle. So we had to, and he would just take these little ducklings and just basically swallow them whole. Because, and these snapping turtles are mean old things. I don't know if you ever saw them or not. And stinky things. Because we had a muddy creek. I'm just telling you a story, all right? I don't know what it has to do with what I'm saying, but we have this muddy creek. My two older brothers, when you would see a snapping turtle, his head would come up. That's all you would see. And you knew he was about probably this big. And his head would come up, and his mouth could snap off a finger pretty much. If you'd get it right in there. And so we wanted to get rid of them. And so my two oldest brothers, they were probably 13, 14, when they would see a head, the way the head was positioned, you would know where the body is. They couldn't see the turtle through the muddy water, so they would quick go in and grab for the tail and catch him, even though they didn't see the tail. Why did I say all that? Had to do with my ducks. Right, so we tried to get rid of them and get them. And then we had a neighbor, we'd call the neighbor and we'd put them in the big barrel, and boy, they stank. And then we'd have a neighbor that wanted to make turtle soup. So we would call him and say, hey, we got a turtle for you. And he would come and get the turtle, and I don't know what he did with it. I guess made soup. So we would protect the little ducks, and then we would have them all in a barn, in a shed, maybe 30, 40 of them. And with those 30, 40, we would have one mother. And the other mothers, they could go and do another nest again. But for a day or so, they'd be looking for the little ducks. That's sad. So somebody asked, well, why'd you do that? Because I had a business mind. I was gifted that way. I wanted to fatten them up. I would raise them, feed them, and we'd fatten them up, and then we'd sell them at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And rather than having a turkey, they would have duck. Hopefully there's no one here who says, oh my, the poor ducks. It's true though, the poor ducks. But one year I sold like 200. And somebody said, why'd you do that? I wanted to make money. That's why I did it. But I loved the ducks. I took good care of them until I had to sell them. Then I, of course, didn't protect them anymore. I'm just showing you that there are things that God has put in our lives as a child that is the root of the vision that he has for you. Right. Has to do with personality. Has to do with the talents you have. Or like personality, how you're made, how you're made up, how you think. And of course, we sanctify all those things and give it to the Lord. And the Lord shows us and uses us. Now, one caution I have is this. Let's not spend a lot of time trying to figure out what we are. Sometimes we get all wrapped up in this, well, I don't know what I am, and we don't do anything for God. We all have a calling, all the same calling in certain things. We have all become brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. Am I right?
Amen.
And from that it says in Corinthians that we are all ambassadors for him.
Absolutely.
So if somebody says, okay, I'm waiting at home on God to show me what to do because I don't know what my calling is, I say, you're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. Because for vision to be fulfilled, you have to act. God cannot move. God, you cannot move a horse unless that horse is moving. You can't turn a horse unless that horse is moving. I know from experience. We farmed with mules and drove horse and buggy. And if that horse was standing still, you would pull on the rein and he would just bring his head around like this. But if it was moving, you would pull on the rein, then all of a sudden he's turning over here. You see, sometimes people with say, I don't really have a vision, or I have a vision, but it's God's not doing it in my life, and I'm just waiting on God. Now, there's times when we wait on God, but if you're waiting on God to show you, he can't really show you unless you're moving. Come on, that's really good. Well, I'm called the pastor. So what are you doing? Well, I'm just at home waiting on God. I'm just praying and fasting. Well, you're probably praying fast for the rest of your life, and you'll never pastor. But if you get out there and you work with a pastor, under a pastor, and you do something, then God will lead you one step at a time and bring you to the place that you see now. The place you see now for vision, especially younger people, and you see something on ahead, don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. Because vision callings are always fulfilled one step at a time. And you go through seasons. And you prepare yourself for whatever you feel you're called to. Dr. Joe, he didn't just sit around and say, well, Lord, I'm called to be a doctor. May I use you as an example? I'm called to be a doctor, so I'm just going to sit at home and pray. Well, he'd still be praying if he wouldn't have taken action or prepared for what God called him to do. And sometimes, especially younger people, well, yeah, but we're looking for this great thing, but you got to start small. You got to do what God asks you to do today. Now, some of us older people, maybe we've experienced some things, and as a result, we're not like, oh man, I don't know what I'm called to do. Maybe we're past that. But even today yet, God gives you new things. And in order for and I don't care how old I am or how old a person is, God will always give you new things. And for those new things to be fulfilled, I have to take a step just like I did back then when I was raising ducks. That was a step towards business, experience, and so forth. I believe there's times for us to seek God and just pray. But in the meantime, we are all called to the same thing in that we are ambassadors for him or for the gospel. Yes. So I don't like when people come to me and says, well, I don't know what I'm called to. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. There are certain things that are outlined in the Word of God that all of us are to do. Be an ambassador, reaching people and doing what you know to do today. It might not be the great thing that we envision, but it's a step towards whatever God has called you to do. Yes. It starts with small things, just little things. I think I used this example before. We use it in Africa. You know, we ask Africans, we say, well, they love chicken. They love chicken. I won't say that. And so I say, how do you eat a chicken? Some use an elephant. How do you eat an elephant? How do you get to walk in the vision that God has for you? One bite at a time. Then you have to chew that bite. You have to chew it. And it becomes a part of your life. Yes. As you swallow it. So vision can start at the beginning, like Jeremiah. He was called from the womb. I believe many of us are called from the womb, if not all of us. And I see that as having certain kind of personality, certain talents that we have been created with. Now, many times we look forward to vision being fulfilled, And I say, don't focus so much on what's going to happen in the future, but focus on today and what you can do today, what that's right in front of you. And don't worry about if it's part of what God has called you to do. Just do it. Just be who you are, wherever you are. My oldest daughter, she's a school teacher. You school teachers, you can identify with this. So when our kids were little, four of them, they would play school. Do kids still play school today? Little kids, huh? Or they're all on their phones, I guess, and all that, and huh? But they would play school. And guess who was always the school teacher? Always. It was my oldest daughter. Well, it was because that's who she was. Right? See, when I was a little boy, we would play office.
Guess who's the manager?
And who's the manager of the office? Or who's taking care of the finances? Who's taking care of the bookkeeping? My brother Sam, we would play church when we were kids. There was 12, well, we weren't all 12 together at the time, but maybe there were 6 or 7 of us. And we would play church. And who was the preacher? He was. He was always the preacher. And he had good sermons. I don't remember them, but I guess they were good. But my granddad lived over in the other end of the, in the grandparents' quarters. And one day he came, while Sam was preaching, he came and sat in the chair there with us kids and listened to Sam preach. And then he said, maybe... By some dog do Vashti and Brady Ha. Fly some dog do Vashti and Brady Ha. That's Pennsylvania Dutch. What he said is, maybe someday you'll be a preacher. During his rebellious years, he'll tell you this. During his rebellious years, whenever he was like drunk or anything like that, that phrase would go through his mind. It would go through his mind. Had to do with the call that was on his life. Of course, he got born again, and we all know the history. Preached many, many sermons and traveled all throughout the world, pastored a church for 40 years. So, the vision that God has put in our heart this is where I was. Be who you are wherever you are, regardless of the vision that you have. Regardless of what you think is going to happen in the future for you. Now, some people have lost sight of their vision or their purpose, if you want to say that. They have lost sight of it because of disappointments. That's a huge thing, because of disappointments. Disappointments have buried people's vision. And so it's the responsibility of us to help uncover that which is within and pull it out of them where they can be healed from the disappointments and fulfill what God has called them to do. So be who you are wherever you are. Just be yourself and minister from that, from what God has put on the inside of you. Don't worry about, well, if it's under the vision that God has given to me. Don't worry about that. You will find as you go step by step through life, towards the end, you may look back and say, oh, that's what God meant. And you see that the whole thing was fulfilled in your life. I think we get too wrapped up sometimes in thinking that, well, I got to stay in my calling. And we get so wrapped up about, well, what is my calling? I got to stay in it. I believe we need to stay in it, but I believe as we move forward in the Spirit of God and we minister to people, you will fulfill the calling that God has put in your life. Definitely. I also have a leadership gifting. Again, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just telling you the story as an example. I have a leadership gifting. I didn't ask for that gifting, but everywhere I go, they put me in leadership. All throughout life. Isn't that right, dear? Why? Because it's a gifting and it's a vision that God has put in there. But I don't come and say, well, I got to be the leader here so I can fulfill my vision. No, you just do it. You just walk in what God has before you.
Yes.
And move forward in that. And God will bring you to the place where he wants you. And you will be fulfilled. You will be fulfilled. I mean, why did we come back to Abundant Life Center? Why am I supposed to be the pastor? It has something to do with the call and the vision that God has given to us. If you like it or not, I'm here. And this is what you get. One time I was called to be on a jury, for a jury, right? Maybe I told some of these stories, but so what? I'm going to say them again anyway, because you probably forgot. But so it was a case where we were trying two people, and they had shot somebody in Columbia, wasn't killed. They had shot another person in Lancaster. They had robbed an ATM, and they had robbed certain people and things like that. I mean, like 11, 12 counts against them. There's actually 30 against them, if you included everything. So I went in for jury, and I was hoping I would get on a case. Because if I wouldn't have been a pastor or in ministry, I would have probably become a lawyer, maybe. I don't know. But I was, you know, like when I was young, I was thinking of three or four different things. Well, Lord, what do you want me to do? And of course, it led towards ministry and preparing for that and so on. But so I wanted to be on this case. I didn't want to be in leadership. I didn't want to be the head juror. But they chose me to be the head juror. And they didn't even know me, except one person knew me a little bit about me. I'm like, what? But I enjoyed it. Because it's part of the calling that's in there. It's part of the gifting that God has given to me. And it was a sad case, actually. It was a young kid around 17, 18, I guess he was. And then the other one was a little older, and you could tell he was a hardened criminal. But this young kid got involved with the wrong crowd, and he was in the car when they did all this stuff. And if you're an accomplice, and he was guilty just as much simply because he was an accomplice. And it was so tough to bring down the decision for him. The other one, it wasn't as tough. As head juror, I had to stand up there and tell them that they're guilty of every little count. I had to go through every count. And the 18-year-old, wow, that family was there, and they were wailing, and it was a sad day. So I don't know what kind of sentence they got. We did go back and talk to the judge, but he didn't tell us exactly what kind of sentence he was going to give them. But what I'm saying is it didn't matter. It seems like it didn't matter where I was involved, no matter if it was a committee on a church, missions director, no matter a businessman, a leader of a business, or a juror, or becoming a head juror, and so on. It seemed that I was always thrust into leadership, not because I was trying to be the leader. And it's because of the gifting. And see, some of you are the same way. And so when God opens up doors, walk through the door. Don't hold back, just walk through the door and let God use you in what he has called you to do. But we sit here today and we maybe try to figure out what we're called to or what our calling should be or if we're in the calling of God. I say, let's not waste our time doing that. Let's just do what God asks us to do today and follow after the things that God has for you, and he will use your giftings and your talents for him and for his kingdom. Now, I know last week I ended with different words from this scripture in Psalm 37. We didn't even get there yet. But I believe as we read Psalm 37, this portion deals a lot with what we do when we feel we have vision and while we're waiting for it to be fulfilled. What we see. Another note is what you see, it's going to be different than what you see right now. Always is. We think we have it all figured out, but it just doesn't work that way. Am I making any sense here today? So look what it says. This is my posture, so to speak, as God is fulfilling the call and the vision in my life. Number one, we had, I think, 8 different words. And I'm sorry, I'm not really sorry. We're just going by what the Spirit of God, I feel the Spirit of God wants. But I'll give you these words again, and maybe next week we'll get to talk about them more. Unless you want to stay here all afternoon. So number one, it says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Some people think they don't have vision because of how we define vision. We think sometimes in order to have vision, we have to know exactly what it is, or maybe an angel comes and tells us our calling, or maybe we have some kind of supernatural, spectacular calling or event that shows us what God wants us to do with our life. And then we hear people testify concerning that, and some people receive that. But then we hear people testify about that, and we sit in our seats and say, oh my goodness, I guess God doesn't even speak to me. See, I feel I need to be careful how I share with you my journey in God fulfilling vision in my life, or how he called me. Because we can't compare ourselves with each other. And just because somebody has a spectacular event spelling out their calling doesn't mean that everybody's going to have that. And if you have that, that's why you have to be careful how you share it. Because we put people into positions thinking, well, I guess God doesn't have a calling for me. Because an angel never appeared to me. 99.9% of people never have a spectacular calling. I said, 99.9% of people don't have a spectacular, what I call a spectacular calling. You basically go along in life, and as you go along in life, you realize what God has called you to do, and you're released in that. And it's a step-by-step process every day. And if we follow that, we're not going to spend a lot of time trying to figure everything out. We're just going to live today. Because if I always look to the future, I'm going to miss the opportunities today. If I always look to the future, I will miss the opportunities that God has right in front of me right now today to minister his love and to minister to people and to love people. So trust in the Lord. Trust in him to bring it to pass what you see in your heart. In the meantime, do good. In the meantime, do good. What I was just saying, do good. Do good whenever you have opportunity. And then it says, dwell in the land. Excuse me. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. In other words, be who you are wherever you are. And dwell on his faithfulness. Look at the things he's done for us. And we can do this as a church. Because we have a calling as a church. And we do the same thing. We live today, step at a time, fulfill what God has called us to do. And minister to the opportunities we have. So dwell in his faithfulness. Remember his good word and his faithfulness. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Then the next one, first was trust, do good, dwell in, feed on, delight in. Delight in him. Then commit it to the Lord. That was number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then the next one from this passage is rest. Let him bring it to pass. And then wait. Doesn't mean you just sit back and do nothing. But you're simply just doing what God wants you to do. And in that sense, you're content. You're waiting for him to fulfill everything he's put in your life. Or in your heart. The vision we have in the inside of us will not happen tomorrow. What we see will not happen tomorrow. It is really for a lifetime. The calling on my life is for a lifetime. and it's going to be fulfilled throughout my life. So there's no pressure on me, because I am committed to Him. He's guiding me a step at a time, so I can be content and happy. Amen. So as I said, Abundant Life Center, I believe there's a calling on Abundant Life Center. I believe there's a certain vision that He's given to us, things that we need to fulfill. I don't know what all those things are. I do know one thing, we're supposed to minister to people. Yes. That is the overall arc over our calling, is minister to people. No matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, people number one. People was always on the mind of Jesus. Whatever He did, wherever He went, people was always on His mind. And He would minister with mercy and truth. And we do the same thing. So in closing, I want to go over again what I feel. We have the overall vision in our bulletin, but then to break it down a little bit, I have a list here. Where is it? There it is. Just to again state this, this is what I'm believing for. I believe we will see revival. I believe we will see a supernatural move of God in our midst, in our services. I'm not saying we're not, but I think even to a greater degree, we're going to see things happening in our services, and then they're going to spill out beyond these walls. I believe the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation more and more. We have few things here and there. You know, somebody gives a word of knowledge and we pray accordingly and so forth. And we believe for miracles. We believe that miracles will follow the word of God. Yes. And as we are obedient to the word of God, we believe miracles will follow. And I believe they'll happen here. Yes. But they won't just happen here. In fact, they will happen even more as we take it out beyond these walls. Because that's where the true miracles actually happen. In Jesus' ministry, when He had miracles happen and so forth, most of them happened in the middle of chaos. That's right. So let's go out and make sure we're believing for the same thing. So we are a word-preaching church. We are a Holy Spirit-filled church. We are a praying church. We are a worshiping church. Excuse me. We're a soul-winning church. We're a fellowshipping church. We're a life-giving and ministering church, or a ministering church. We're a loving church, and we're a healing church. And I would encourage each one of you to memorize these or to meditate on these things, because you're a part. You're the church. We're the church together. Amen? Word-preaching church, Holy Spirit-filled church, praying church, worshiping church, soul-winning church, giving church, fellowshipping church, life-giving and ministering church, loving church, and a healing church. We could add to that, but I think what I'm going to say is a result of all these things, and that is, we are a growing congregation. I said, we are a growing congregation. We want to bring the gospel to this area, York County, or whatever this area would include. And we are as a result of these things, can you believe with me?
Yes.
We are a growing congregation. In that growing congregation, we need a children's ministry. In that growing congregation, we need a youth ministry. We have some things happening in the youth. And we need all these different things. We need a women's ministry. We need a men's ministry. We need to minister to the different seasons of life that are represented in the church. And someone says, well, we don't have any children. We will have children. Yes. Amen? We say these things in faith. You know, they prepare for babies every Sunday. And I was, who was back there? Was it you, Rose? Or someone was back there. I said, well, you're going to be back here today. She said, well, yeah, if there's a baby comes. And she believed that there's babies coming. Maybe not today, but babies are coming. We need to be ready. Amen? And I believe God's going to guide us into the vision that he has for us. And it's going to be a wonderful thing, reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just this week, Steve said in the food, what do you call it, food pantry? We call it the food pantry. I guess Spanish people have been coming. Well, if you're going to minister to Spanish people, you have to know their language. Somebody said, well, yeah, but they're here. They should learn our language. Hey, we're ministering to people. All right? Nobody said that in here. But I've heard people say that. You know, I mean, think about it this. We have all these immigrants that come. And, of course, I am for closed borders. Don't misunderstand me. But people that are here, we can minister to them. It's an opportunity for us to bring people to the Lord. And if they're sent back or whatever, they can take the gospel back with them. Amen. All right, I better shut up here. But Steve was saying, didn't you say there was a Spanish family came or something? And then now you know of somebody that will help you to minister to the Spanish people as they come to the food pantry. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
That is so good. Come on.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, we thank you for the word of God. I thank you for every vision, every calling that's represented in this room. And I believe, Lord, that each one of us, we will go forth and minister to people. And as we minister to people, that calling is being fulfilled in the name of Jesus. And Lord, if there's real specific things in a person's life, I thank you, Lord, as we take a step at a time, that you will bring us to that place where you will fulfill the calling that's on our lives. In the meantime, Lord, I pray for each one of us that we would be content where you have us. Content, looking to the future, but being content in the present day. And we thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.